We read from Luke 12. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. When Jesus was heading resolutely toward Jerusalem, towards capture, condemnation, crucifixion for the whole world, he was passing through Samaria, and he sent his disciples ahead to find lodging in a Samaritan village. The people of that village, knowing that he was heading to Jerusalem outside their country, refused to help. At that time, James and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples, wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy that ungrateful town. Jesus rebuked them. He said to them, "You do not know what kind of a spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And now, here, just three chapters later, Jesus says, "I came to cast fire on the earth." And he is eager to do it. So what's going on? Has he changed his mind? What kind of a Jesus do we have to share with others? A savior or a flamethrower? Jesus says that he is eager to bring fire on the earth. And fire can picture God's judgment on our sinful human nature. Fire can destroy thousands and thousands of acres of forest and farmland, and so picture God's burning anger over sin. That's what Moses sang about by the Red Sea after the children of Israel were delivered from the Egyptians. He said, "In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble." Yes, Jesus did come in connection with the fierce consuming fire of God's judgment on all sinners. For sinners are God's enemies. But Jesus came to take that judgment on himself, to absorb the intense heat of God's anger over our sins, like the lightning rod on the barn that takes the shattering bolt of lightning so that the barn is spared. So our Savior suffered the destructive force of God's righteous anger. That was the baptism that he had to be baptized with before the fire which he came to kindle could spring forth in blessing. Remember how on the third day after Jesus endured that baptism of shame and suffering on the cross, how on that day he talked with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He explained to them everything that the Old Testament scriptures had said about him and how it was necessary for him to suffer and then to enter his glory. Later, those disciples said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" This is the fire that he came to bring upon the earth. It is the fire which warms the spirit and brings life and energy. This is the fire that on the first Pentecost morning was pictured by what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the disciples. For it is by the Spirit of God that the Word was written, and it is by the Spirit that we are convinced that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the fire that the Spirit's Word still kindles to this very day. It is the good news that warms us and assures us of the forgiveness which He won on the cross, igniting our faith and love. But it is still fire. Make no mistake, it has an effect. Christ did not come into this world so that the sinful world might go its own way in peace. His fire is not some distant shooting star or some glowing firefly that the world enjoys and delights in, but leaves everything pretty much as it was. This fire, which does not destroy us, nevertheless makes a huge difference in our lives. It not only reaches into our lives to give us courage, hope, and separation from God's righteous anger for our sins, but it also brings about a separation from false security, from sinful, destructive ways, and from those who reject the life which Christ brings. There is a peace which passes all understanding, but it is not the peace that the world is seeking through politics, treaties, earthly wealth, human health, human strength and honor. It is not some millennium of peace on this planet, not the end of all division and contention between the nations and people of the world, as much as we might like to see such a peace, but the peace which the world cannot give is peace with God through Jesus. And that is ours, even if we live in the midst of this world's wars and lawlessness, in the midst of poverty and lowliness. And when one day we see this peace, it will not be on the earth, but in the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore we pray, awake, thou Spirit, who didst fire the watchman of the church's youth. Give tongues of fire and hearts of love to preach the reconciling word. Anoint with power from above, where'er the joyful sound is heard. Hymn 349, stanzas 1 and 4. 349, stanzas 1 and 4.